When we're preparing to speak to God's people, it's always amazed me how a theme, if a person is being led by God's Spirit and willing to be led, then the theme through the sermons, the music, the messages that we hear, all run together and there's a certain theme there. I asked Roy at the break, Roy Asante from down in Australia, admonished us yesterday. He's a graduate of the Spokesman Club International, and he said they post on the podium or wherever a word, and then the men, every time that word is used in a speech or speaking or whatever, they mark it down, and then they ask them, well, how many times was this word used in the meeting that we have today? So I asked Roy at the break, I said, how many times was the word love used? And he said, boy, I forgot to count them, but I think it was a lot. Well, that's what I want to speak about today. And those of us who have been around God's church for a long time, when you speak third or fourth, whatever, pretty soon everybody's danced around all of your sermons, your scriptures, and so you've probably heard most of the message that I wanted to give. But I thought about, and I really want to thank Jay for that wonderful song, "Oh How I Love Thy Law." That was an excellent song. If he had some way to record it, we could use that as special music in all the fellowship groups. I served the fellowship group in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and God continues to bless that group because when someone comes to that group, and I always point out, it's not my group, brethren, it's God's group. I serve those people, and I serve with a willing heart, and I believe that that's what God's called me to do. Just as all the elders believe the same thing, that God has called us to teach or to serve in some position in the church. And it really doesn't make any difference to me where I'm setting up tables, setting up chairs, speaking, washing the commodes or the toilets or whatever, as long as I'm serving God's people. And we do that in love. And Wendell touched on this morning that we support each other and hold each other's hands up when we do it in love. And it's my own personal belief, I get to use Fred's cowbell, that if we will show love in the fellowship groups that God has provided leadership, those that serve the groups, if that group will provide love for all that God sends, God will continue to add and to build His church. I talk to people, and I'm sure that all the elders and those that were the invitees and men that are serving in fellowship groups, if you would ask them, what's the conversation like when somebody calls up and said, can I come and visit or can I come to the group that you're serving? They've been beat up. They've been abused, misused, merchandised, and Fred said the same thing. We have to provide a place where God's people can come, where they can be fed spiritually and nourished, taught what they need to be taught, baptize them and teach them the proper covenant law and the relationship that they're entering into. Because when I counsel people for baptism, I tell them, look, this is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life because it is not only a lifetime commitment, just as marriage is supposed to be and what God intended, but it is also a covenant that if we endure to the end, as the Word tells us, those who endure to the end shall be saved. And so as we are resurrected, changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, whatever one God has planned for us, then we will all have qualified and been in God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul said that. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished my race. I have endured to the end. I've kept the faith. And that's what we have to do. So today, most of the scriptures, or some of them that I was going to use, has already been used. You probably already wrote them down. But I wanted to talk to you about love. And we look at a number of scriptures over in John. Because you see, when John started out, if you remember the story, some people were giving Christ a hard time. John was a little like Peter. You know, Peter, when they came out to take Christ, took the sword and lopped off one of the fellow's ears. Christ had compassion on that man and healed him instantly. As Fred brought out yesterday in speaking to the elders and the invitees that are here at the conference. What did that man think? You know, we're going to take you out and we're going to crucify you, and here you heal me and you've shown love to me. And that's what God expects us to do. Scripture that we're all very familiar with, 1 John 3, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. And that's true. The world don't know us. They think we're foolish. You know, I have people in Worley Church and good friends that ask me, How long's your service? I tell them, 2 hours. 2 hours? If a minister can't tell me what I need to know in 45 minutes, I'm out of there. That's the way they feel about it. They don't understand that we are committed to 24-hour period of time that we come together, because that's the appointed time that God has placed and said, if you want to worship me, you come on the Sabbath day. And that's the seventh day of the week. And we know that. There should be no doubt in our minds, because God has called us, we've repented, He's given us His Spirit that allows us to understand what's in His Word. And that's the main thing, that we understand, that we're able to teach it. You know, it said over there in Hebrews, Paul admonished those people there. He said, you know, when you ought to be teachers, you have that someone teach you again and give you milk. You know, all of us here are 30, 40, 50 years in the church. Some brand new ones, which we're real proud of. And God, as we prepare and we teach God's people, and God adds new people, He brings people with talent. And He brings young people. Because as Fred said, our place of safety for those who are up 78, 79, 80 years old is not going to be Petra. It's going to be what is called terra firma. Pushing up cardboard. And we can joke about that. But we will only be in the grave for a few minutes, a few seconds, because our next thought will be resurrected and we can fly up in the air. What's that going to be like? Do we grasp that? What's it going to be like to be taken with the angels, take us up to the sea of glass to meet Christ? What is that going to be like? Our minds, we can't wrap our minds around eternal life. We can't wrap our minds around that God and Jesus Christ, the one who became Jesus Christ, has always existed. There's never been a time when they weren't there. Because, see, we have a beginning, and we definitely are going to have an end. But that end, if we remain true to God's Word and keep the faith, will only be temporary, because then it will go all out into all eternity, And we will be just like the Father and just like Christ, live for all eternity. In verse 2 it says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So, this is our hope. But in order to accomplish these things, we have to learn the lessons. And God has brought us here, like it says in the Scripture, not many wise, not many noble, not many rich, not many mighty, but He's chosen the weak things of the world. He's chosen people who are willing to be molded, like the potter takes a piece of clay and he molds it. And if it don't get just right, he can whack it a few times and then he can work it some more till it becomes a piece of what he wants. A good friend of mine was a deacon in God's church. He endured to the end. He had 5 heart attacks. I'm sorry, he had 5 bypasses, 17 heart attacks. He would have a heart attack on Sunday, mild, of course, and he would go into the hospital up there in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where he lived, and he would get out on Friday afternoon, and Sabbath morning, he was in services, setting up chairs, serving the brethren, and encouraging them. And he did this for years. And a lot of times I would go up. One time he was in a hospital on the Sabbath. And so after services, I drove up to Bartlesville, my wife and I. And I told him, I said, and he had a good sense of humor. And I told him, I said, "You know, Stephen," I said, "God's making a diamond out of you." I said, "He's took a chunk of coal we heard about this morning. And I said, he's chipping away. And everything that don't look like a diamond, he knocks off." Well, Stephen come back and he said, "He sure knocked a big chunk off that time." So in all his trials and all his tribulations, he loved God. He loved God's people. He exemplified the way of life that we've been called to. And see, the Scripture tells us, Christ told the people there that he was teaching, that we are to be a light to the world. And we are to let our light so shine that it glorifies God in heaven. We're not to put it under a bushel, and we're not to hide it. And we are to glow and have that glow to where when people look at us, they can say, "There is something about you that is different. I've never met a person like you. There's something there." That's God's Spirit, and that's the glow that we have. I know when I worked in California, a man told me, come up one time and he said, "There's something different about you." I said, "Well, there's a bunch of other guys out here." He said, no, "You're different. There's something different about you." He said, your light kind of shines, and you set a good example." And he used to come to me. He was a foreman of the shop. And he would come to me and he would say, "Is there any more people over in your church," he called it my church, "that would work like you work, set the example that you set? I'll hire them." And at one time we had seven people out of God's church working at that factory. And I told him, I said, "Clancy, Feast of Tabernacles come, we're going to all be gone for 8 days. We all had a name. They call me Big Larry. He said, "Big Larry, they work like you, set the example that you set. There won't be a problem. I'll take care of it." And so until that factory closed, and God blessed the factory because we shipped $1 million out. And the following month it was $1.5 million. And the next month it was $2 million. Because God blessed that company while we were working there. And I kind of watched, and as things kind of slowed down, and they went to laying off everybody, and the brethren was getting laid off, so the company went downhill. So that's just an example of how we can let our light shine. You know, brethren, we're commanded Turn over to Matthew 22. Marlon came down one time, first time he came to visit. He said, "Where's your notes? I didn't see any notes." Well, I had a bunch of notes, and I've almost used up most of my time just speaking from the heart, brethren, because that's the way I speak. Each elder in God's church that you've probably heard have a different style of speaking, and I hate to be clumbersome by notes and things like that. I'd rather speak from the heart. But in Matthew 22 and verse 36 through 40, now if I can find it here, said, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Christ, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" So we love God first. And then the second, he says, is like it: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So that's what we are to do. We are to love each other. And that's the lesson, that's the theme that I hope that we all understand, and I hope that all who receive this will look at their lives, will think, "Can I be more outgoing and more loving and more caring?" As Wendell brought out, you see, we are so scattered today that we can pray and we can show love by praying, and we can check on each other. You know, we know lots of people. Every day that I pray that God will watch over His people around the world. I pray that those that are sick that I don't know, that He will intervene in their lives. I pray that if there's a need, that God in some way would fulfill that need. And God hears those prayers. He hears them because His Word tells us. Jesus said, "My Father knows what you need before you even ask." But the Scripture also tells us, it says, "Ask and you shall receive." It says, "Knock and it'll be opened unto you." And that's what we have to do. God opens a door for us, like this internet, church at home. I've been able to recommend that to a couple of individuals that weren't quite ready to come to church. I say, "Well, why don't you watch church at home? If you've got a computer, you can go in there and download." And most everybody today has a computer. And they can download a sermon, a sermonette, or whatever, a message that Fred's recorded that goes way, way, way back. And he was telling us about how many, what the number was that's on there that you can download or that you can read or that you can study. And then we have all these booklets. And this latest one that we have out, God's Appointed Times, you know, terrific book. And it lays it right on the line of what we should be doing. Turn over to John 14. You know, we're commanded to love each other. Now let's turn over to John 11. This is a story about Lazarus. You know the story. You've read the Bible at all and studied it. They sent for Christ, and he delayed 4 days because, as Fred brought out one time, under Jewish law, you couldn't be declared legally dead till you'd been in the grave. What was 4 days? And so at the end, the time was up, Christ came. And Mary said, "You know, if you'd have come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. You could have healed him." And the Scripture also tells us that Christ wept. And the people there that saw him weeping said, "Look how he loved him. Look how he loved him." And then a little short prayer: "Father, I know that you hear me and you always hear me." And then he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he told those people there at that time, he said, "I am the resurrection." And that should have been a lesson for all those there. John 14, just a few pages over. Here's what we read, and you've had these scriptures read to you at the Passover. Beginning in verse 19, Christ here speaking, he says, "A little longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you may know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keep them, It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And down in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Christ is teaching them. And he also told them there at the Passover, the last Passover, he said, there can be no greater love than a man give up a life for a friend. And he says, I call you friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And he also told them, if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And he also told them at that time, you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. So I would have to ask the question, if we don't love each other, maybe we're not Christ's disciples. But that's a sign that we have love for one another. Where else could you go on a Saturday, God's holy Sabbath, and be around a bunch of people from all over the United States and all over the world that are of like mind, that are looking for one thing, and that's the kingdom of God? Where else could you go? You couldn't find that in a worldly church. Couldn't find it at all. And when we come together as God's people, you know, Fred sets up here and he rings his cowbell three or four times to get us to quit fellowshipping and sit down and listen some. Let me teach you some. And God has provided us a good teacher. And he is providing elders to serve those who he brings to the congregation. I told Fred the other evening, I said, I've got a real problem in Tulsa. That kind of perked up because he thought it was going to be bad. I said, it's a good problem. We're outgrowing our meeting hall. 2 weeks ago, if everyone would have been there, we would have had 42 people there. Some young people are coming there. But God is adding. So now we're going to have to find a bigger hall. And I would ask you all to pray that we can find something where we can have a potluck and we can use the hall and we can have peace and safety. You know, we can do that because it says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much over there in James 5 that we use for anointing. So we pray for one another, just as Wendell brought out this morning. We pray for one another. We love one another. We care for one another. We think about one another often. Mr. Armstrong's favorite scripture over there in the Psalms was, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And if we don't like each other, if we don't get along, then we're not unified. And when we're unified as a body, we can move mountains. We can move God to do things for us through prayer, fasting. You know, we have a lot of power that God has given us, just prayer. Prayer. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. I think if we're going to do a message on love, we ought to turn over the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13. The Apostle Paul here speaking, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm nothing. If I don't love you, what good am I? Basically, just paraphrasing. He said, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I'm just making a lot of noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I could move a mountain, but I have not love, I'm nothing. I'm actually nothing. I think when God knocked Saul at that time off his donkey, he got his attention. Sometimes God gets our attention through a trial. How are you going to handle it? I know one time my wife and I went through a trial. And although she was suffering, I was praying hard. And I called the minister and I said, what's going on? You know, I've prayed. I've called for anointing. The brethren have brethren have prayed, the brethren are praying, and God's not healed her. He said, he's teaching you patience. And so finally she was healed. Down in verse 3 he said, And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Look at me, I'm some great guy. Nope. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's what we need to do, brethren. We need to rejoice in the truth that God has given us. It says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it'll vanish. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfected has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And he goes on to say, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But he says, when I became a man, I put away childish things. And he goes on to say that now we see in a mirror dimly, because we haven't got the whole picture yet. But God is continuing to reveal it to us. And as we continue to grow in love and grace and knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, we keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and we do what he tells us to do through the scripture, and we follow the example that's in the scripture, then God will say, well done, enter into the kingdom. I think that's what we all want to hear, brother. That's what we're all looking forward to. And I think we could all look at the song that Jay's wrote and did, oh, how I love I thy law. David said that over in Psalm 119. He said, it's a lamp that lights my path. It leads us to God. So think about that, brethren. You see, as a shepherd of a flock, you know, you could call me a pastor, you could call me a shepherd, you could call me a teacher, but I'm just a servant. I sit on the sidelines like a coach, and I make sure that everything goes good. See, a shepherd doesn't beat the sheep. He doesn't whip them. He don't beat them. He takes care of them. If they're sick, he binds up their wounds. He feeds them. He waters them. And he takes them out to the green pastures. And he leads them beside the still waters. That's what a good shepherd does. And the sheep, when the shepherd calls, you know, you can go out there with a bucket of feed and rattle that feed bucket and yell, whoo, whoo! And here they come, and they'll knock you down getting to the feed trough. And that's the truth. And we had goats at one time, and they loved us. And they'd rub up against our leg, and I'd have to pin them up when I went out there to mend a fence or something other, because they would come out there and they'd take my hat off. Or they'd pick up one of my tools and run off with it, because they knew that I was going to feed them later on, you know. But they were showing me love as an animal shows love. You know, you can take your dog and you can whoop him, and he'll still come over there and lick your hand. So I think there's a lot of lessons that we can learn, brethren. But I think the lesson that God wants us to learn at this time is love one another. I'm quite a fan of music. I like music. I always wanted to learn to play the guitar. But the first thing I learned when I was trying to learn to play the guitar was it makes the end of your fingers sore. But Jesse Colin Young, Youngblood of the Youngbloods, had a song quite a number of years ago. And the song said, come on people now, let's get together and let's try to love one another right now. And so I think I'll close there. Let's think about love. Let's look at the way we present ourselves to the brethren. Let's learn to love one another. Let's be mindful of each other's needs. Because the time is coming, brethren, and it may not be too far down the line that we're going to have to depend on each one of us is going to have to, you know, you may have to provide a home. You may have to provide food. You may have to provide shelter for God's people. So those are things that we can do in serving and helping, as Wendell brought out, that we all have a part to do. You know, we're like the coal miners. You know, one time they asked me, I was in the Air Force, and they said, "Were you a pilot?" Everybody thinks that when you're in the Air Force, you fly the plane. It takes 18 men on the ground to keep a fighter plane in the air. Each person has their part to do. As Wendell said, we're scattered, but we can pray for one another. And as he brought out about Moses, we can hold each other's hands up. We can encourage one another. But let's do it in love and compassion.